Okay, so we're going to take the tour of the minnow. This is from Franklin Sills' book, The Foundations in Craniosacral Biodynamics. First, get into a comfortable sitting or lying position and take a few deep breaths. We are about to go on an inner tour where your imagination will swim inside the ventricle spaces in your brain. Sutherland asked people to imagine that they were a little minnow, a very small fish. And this minnow had mysterious properties. It could get very small and squeeze into the smallest spaces, and it could radiate light so that you could see the nearby structures more clearly. Use whatever image helps you most. You may simply want to let your awareness travel through these spaces. We will start our tour in the cisterna magna, which is below the cerebellum, sort of on the back of the neck, right below the skull. See if you can inwardly settle into your cisterna magna. Let yourself imagine, sense the anatomy around you as you settle in its space. Imagine and sense that you are the little minnow swimming in your cisterna magna. Now, as you settle in this inner space, look above you, and you will see the inferior aspect of the cerebellum. When you look in front of you, you'll see an opening. This is the median foramen into the fourth ventricle. Swim up to this opening and squeeze through. You are now in the fourth ventricle. The little minnow looks up and sees a sloping wall above. This is the cerebellum. You also note a narrow tunnel that seems to go upward further than you can see. This is the aqueduct of Sylvius. You also notice a sloping floor below you that slides into another very narrow tunnel and seems to go downward forever. This is the central canal of the spinal column. The little fish waits and watches in the pyramidal fourth ventricle. You take it all in. In the fourth ventricle, you are buffeted about by turbulence. The fluids in the fourth ventricle swirl about and bounce around before they leave the ventricle to enter the cisterna magna. In this swirling, you notice something very powerful. You are surrounded by radiance and light. This is the liquid light that Sutherland speaks about. The light reflects off everything, but does not mix with anything. It is like golden reflections off of clouds. You also notice something else here, a high-pitched buzzing sound emanating from these physiological centers. The area is alive with activity. The little fish decides to swim upward. You push yourself up the narrow aqueduct of Sylvius. You are swimming against the current like a salmon returning home. It is a tight squeeze. Finally, you find yourself in another space, the third ventricle. It is shaped like a flattened, hollow inner tube with a solid center formed by the interthalamic adhesion. You let yourself be carried by the currents of cerebrospinal fluid up and around this tube. The current takes you around and around the tube. You're carried up the back and down the front in this space, then through the top of the tube, down the front, along the back, along the floor, and then back up the rear aspect again. You decide to explore this inner tube. Take a swim in this space. Swim up the back and to the roof of the third ventricle. And then you look behind you. There's a small funnel-shaped opening at the bottom of the rear of the ventricle. Ah, this must be the opening into the pineal gland. In some spiritual traditions, the pineal gland is considered to be the site of the soul. Swim up to it and stick your nose into its opening and see inside. What do you see? You may see crystals that glow inside the pineal gland. Perhaps you may even see them glowing. Some brain researchers are looking at the brain as having radio sending and receiving capabilities. Perhaps these are the crystals in the radio set. All you know is the radiance coming from them. As you rest there, you notice the gland gently and rhythmically moving upward and downward. Ah, you think this must be its expression of motility, inhalation, and exhalation. You take your nose out of the funnel and swim anteriorly back toward the front again, through the upper part of the ventricle. You notice fluid motion coming down towards you from the top of the ventricle. Like a curtain, the structures hang down and fluid motion is sensed. This must be the choroid plexus tissue, secreting new cerebrospinal fluid. You then swim forward and down the front part of the third ventricle. You notice another funnel in the anterior aspect of the floor of the ventricle. This must be the opening into the pituitary gland at the floor of the third ventricle. Stick your nose in and try to swim down the pituitary stalk. You find it is a tight fit. Maybe your little minnow needs to shrink even smaller. Here, you must squeeze through the diaphragma cellae that straps the pituitary into the cella turcica of the sphenoid bone. So you're squeezing past those ligaments, connective tissue, which is keeping the pituitary in place. You squeeze into the stalk of the pituitary gland and find, after all that effort, that you are tired and need a rest. You settle down and rest on the pituitary gland. Ah, what a relief. You notice a gentle rocking, first one way, and then the other. You realize that the pituitary lies in the saddle of the sphenoid bone and is gently rocked by its motility. You are cradled in the arms of motility and gently rocked to sleep. After a rest, you awaken and swim upward to squeeze out of the pituitary stalk. You are once again in the lower front aspect of the third ventricle. You look above and notice two more openings in the upper forward parts of the third ventricle. You swim up to them. These must be the foramina of Monroe, each giving access into one of the lateral ventricles. You swim up to one and swim into one of the lateral ventricles, either right or left, your choice. You first swim forward into the frontal horn of the lateral ventricles, and soon swim into the end of its most anterior aspect as you bump into the frontal lobe of the cerebral cortex. You swim toward the back now through the body of the lateral ventricle and find that you are indeed in a relatively large space. Again, there's choroid plexus tissue all along it, and much cerebrospinal fluid is being produced here. You notice that as you swim, you are descending toward the back, and now there are two horns, one that goes back and downward, and one that curves down and back toward the front along the sides. You explore these. You swim back toward the first horn until you are in the area of the posterior horn. You swim into this until it ends in the occipital lobe. Then you swim out and go down and toward the front into the inferior horn in the temporal lobe. Just below you now is the hippocampus. And just ahead of you is the amygdala, both very important centers. Let yourself swim around the lateral ventricle and get a sense of its shape and spatial arrangement. And when you're ready, we'll swim back through the foramen of Monroe, back into the third ventricle. Allow yourself to be taken by the current of cerebrospinal fluid around the inner tube of the third ventricle. Up the back, down the front, around and around. You notice its turbine-like motion as you are taken by the fluids around the third ventricle. There's something important here, like a water turbine taking on energy or potency. Yes, it is the power of the tide. You sense radiance. You again need a rest. This time you rest on the floor of the third ventricle. You nestle down on the floor and noticing an interesting thing happening here. There's a rhythmical rising and falling of the floor of the fourth ventricle, of the third ventricle, excuse me. You realize this must be the rise and fall of this sphenobasilar junction that is just under you. That's where the sphenoid and occiput bone come together. You listen to this motion for a while. Then, when you're ready, you swim to the rear of the floor and again start your descent through the aqueduct of Sylvius. Here, it is an easier descent because you are swimming with the current. You squeeze through and again find yourself in the fourth ventricle, where you again experience the turbulence of the cerebrospinal fluid and the radiance of the potency in it. You then swim out of the median foramen back into the cisterna magna. Here you end your journey. Take a moment to rest here. Resting below the cerebellum, behind the brainstem. Orient to your midline and very gently orient your senses to the outer world. Seeing, hearing, and touching, you can reach out again to the world around you.